Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Wow, what a welcome. Thank you very much. What a welcome. Oh, it means a lot. Thank you. Suddenly everything is more settled than it was 30 seconds ago. Let me extend and reciprocate the welcome to all of you. It's great to have you here at Kingdom Faith Church. What an awesome church. What an awesome family. Amen. We are a family of believers. Especially if you are here for the first or second term or the first few times that you're with us, I trust that you feel really part of us, that you feel at home with us. We love you, we appreciate you, and we're so happy that you're here with us this morning. Right, as Pastor Clive was alluding to, this is week two of Family of Believers, is it not? Yeah. But before we unpack Family of Believers, let's have a quick recap of what came before. Do you remember the first, well, 3 weeks in January, we had our 2020 Vision Sundays. And Pastor Clive said last week that whoever stands on this platform has to get the church to quote and recite the things that we are as a house of God, a family of believers, and a friend to the world. So are you ready? Congregation participation moment. Are you ready? So the house of God, what are they? The three things that make us a house of God. The word, prayer, and worship. And that's our vertical relationship with God, is it not? Right, the seven words that describe our culture as a family of believers, they are, we are generational, we are hospitality, we are generous, encourage, we belong, we're significant, and we're healthy. Right, how many of those of you had to check your notes, and how many knew it up here? Ah, there we go. Before I crack on with hospitality for this week, it's just be a good moment just to have a look at the video that we made. I really believe in visual and media reinforcement, and this video really, for me, in my heart, is the soundtrack to our church. It's the soundtrack to our family. So let's just take a moment and just watch this and see what it says. I love that video. That's something on the inside, isn't it? Gets you going. I love the music as well. So here we go. Hospitality, an environment of acceptance and welcome. Why is it important? Well, it starts with God at the end of the day. God is king. And where there is a king, there is a kingdom. And where there is that kingdom, there is this own culture of that kingdom. And God has his own culture. And culture, as we know it, is a core value and conviction, something that we all live in agreement together. So when we are born again, we get added into the kingdom of God, right? So this kingdom of God supersedes all our natural cultures, where we might be from a different country or different race, different background, but all of that has to submit to the kingdom of God. And you see, God is in the business of people. That's news for you all, if you didn't know. God is in the business of people. He loves them, he honors them, he came to seek them, to save them, and he came to build them into his church. He came to give them purpose, to clean them up and say, come on, you're part of my family, you're part of my house. So that's why it's so important that we understand that hospitality is so key. Because if we understand that God loves people and God honours people, then so should we. Come on. Which is why that environment of acceptance is welcome is so key to how we treat people. Amen? Now, many of you should know, or hopefully you do know, that the Connect team was launched today. Yeah, stand up if you're part of the Connect team. Let's honour them. Let's give these guys a round of applause. These guys are great. And the reason I mention them today is that it's actually been like the fusion, the amalgamation of the former host team, the response team, and the car parking team. And effectively, if you like, they're the face of the church. They're the people that, as all of us come in, meet with these guys. And it's so important. We call them the Connect team. Why? Because people need to connect with us as people. They need to connect with the house. And ultimately, they need to connect with God. So it's fantastic that they're part of it. And you know, actually, it's not just the 30 people that stood up that are part of the Connect team. There's the 350, 400 people here in this house that are part of the Connect team. We're all in this together. Hence why we're the family believers. Right, okay. So we've touched on that God's got a kingdom, and then we talk about his cultures and his values. So what we're going to look to unpack today, we're just going to pop a slate up. And this is what we're going to aim to do today. We're going to look at what the Bible says, or indeed commands, about being hospitable. What does this look like? And effectively, what are the results of being hospitable people? So, all goes to plan. We should answer those three questions in the next 25, 30 minutes. Brilliant. If you want to turn into your Bibles, who's got the truth? If you haven't got the truth, come and see me and I'll give you mine. How's that? Not sending you to the bookshop, come to me, I'll give you mine. Right, Romans 12, verse 8 to 13. I'll just crack on and read it while you guys get there. If God has given you a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. As members of the same body, we are to be devoted to one another, loving each other as members of the same family. This involves honouring others above ourselves and always being eager to serve the Lord by doing what he asks of us and doing it with all our hearts. We are to radiate joy because we are a people of hope. We will be a people who love to give, sharing our resources with God's people who are in need and welcoming others into our homes. There you go for you biblical scholars. Did you know that the word hospitality or hospitable appears in the New Testament no less than 9 times? Now that doesn't include all the examples where it says love one another, serve one another, build one another, encourage one another. It's part of who we are, okay? And why is hospitality important? Well, let me give you an example. I recently had some friends come over, actually last weekend they were here. And when you have people over, you think about hosting them. It doesn't come as a surprise. If you plan to have people over, then you know they're coming. So you prepare for it and you take care to the attention and the details of what your home might be like. So in this case, these are friends from Spain and they had a little 2-year-old girl. She's actually 23 months. And all the parents will say, I know this, but how many people know that kids need a lot of stuff? Karen and I don't have any kids yet. So between a few questions and a few favours with friends, I managed to source a car seat for the kid so I could pick him up at the airport. I had to source a pushchair. I sourced a travel cot, and someone even offered me a high chair, which I declined at that point because I couldn't fit into my little Mazda. But basically, you think about the detail about when having people over. So in thinking about it, you might think, okay, what am I going to cook? How am I going to lay the table? What wine are you going to offer them? I might think that. Or you might prepare, think about cleaning your house. Maybe not think about it until your wife says, actually, you're doing this, in my case. I always seem to get the bathrooms in my house. So anyway, we put a candle in our house, in our bathroom. You know, you think about the environment, you think about the ambiance, you think about the music that you're going to play. For those of you who have kids, they might be at the window sort of looking through the curtain. Are they here yet? They're here yet. You know, there's a sense of expectation, anticipation, of excitement of having people come into your world, into your house. You know, and how far do you go? Do you make space for them on your drive? Or do you move your car into a visitor space so they can have your space? Because that's what we try to do, Karen and I. You see, why do you do all of that? Why do you go to those lengths? Why do we go to those lengths? Because the statement of hospitality that it makes is, I care about you. You're valued to me. I honour you. I'm willing to go to the extra mile to make you feel welcome, to make you feel loved, to make you part of my home. I want you to know that I am happy to see you. You see, it's so important that the environment that we create says, you're here, you're welcome here. Our heart, our attitude says you are welcome here, which is why I welcomed everybody in the first place, because you can't talk about hospitality without saying it's great to have you amongst us. It really is. So excited to have you with us. You know, our statement of hospitality really needs to change people from strangers to guests, from unknown to known. It's a process of receiving them into our world here, both in our own homes and in our corporate homes. You see, last week we were hearing about being a generational people. And one of the points that Pastor Clive was making about being a generational people is that we have an inheritance. You know, it passes down from one generation to another. Well, every family has an inheritance as well. And the inheritance in this family isn't just, you know, the revelation of being in Christ. That's a whole other message for another day. But we have an inheritance as a people. And our inheritance at Kingdom Faith is that we are a family of believers. Amen? Which means that we're loved. We're accepted, we're adopted in the household of God, and we need to model that inheritance, not only in our own homes, but in this home, so that whenever somebody comes, they see the inheritance that we have here present at Kingdom Faith. Amen? Yeah. So people are loved, they're accepted, they're welcomed, we're in this together. Now again, I'm not trying to nick all the next week's preachers for all the other words, but you know, there's a real strong link with generous and hospitality. Now we know that generous isn't just about the financial giving, but actually generous is about going the extra mile. It's being willing to give of yourself, to give of your time, of your gifting, of serving, of laying your life down, of being willing to go, like I say, go the extra mile, really sort of contribute and say, okay, yeah, I'm part of this. You know, let's just quickly look at 2 Corinthians 8, what it says there. I'm going to go into the truth. Now, this is the passage that talks about generosity, but I want to just refer to something that I picked up the other day when I was praying and preparing, and that really struck me. It actually says, make every effort, you know, that we are to excel in it. Let's just start at verse 6, because we know that Paul is writing to the guys at Corinthians, saying, urging them to be giving. But he says, so we have encouraged Titus, who had originally inspired you to give, to return and to help complete this generous action. You have shown that you excel in everything. Everybody say, in everything.
In everything.
That includes hospitality, right? In your faith, in the things that you say, in your knowledge of God's will, and in truly longing to see his will for you fulfilled. Yes, you also excel in your love for us. So now also prove that you excel in this grace of giving. Now, we're talking about generosity here in this particular context. And like I said, it's not about the financial aspect of it, but a giving of yourself. Are you willing to give yourself to the house? Are you willing to go the extra mile? Are you willing to say, yeah, I'm part of making people feel accepted and welcome in this house? If you cast your mind back to a few weeks ago, actually back in January, the second week when Pastor Clive was expanding on the second week of the family of believers and the cultural elements, he made a statement that really, really struck me and that really stayed with me. And he said this, as the church is, so the town will be. Yeah. Now we've heard, as the leader is, so the people will be, but he said, as the church is, so the town will be. Wow, what a statement to make. Well, I want Horsham to reflect the kingdom of God. Yeah. I want the region to reflect the kingdom of God. If the town is going to reflect the church, then that makes us the cultural architects of our town and our region. Amen? So you and I can influence it. That's a huge vision. There's no way that you can do that with God. You know it's God when it's that big, don't you? Let's look at 1 Timothy, what it says there. Very briefly, 1 Timothy 3. Because this really sums up that statement that Pastor Clive has made. If I can find it in my Bible. I spent all day yesterday finding these little tags to find my page, but my Bible's so small I can't find it. 1 Timothy 3, verse 14. Beg your pardon, 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. You will know how people must conduct themselves in the household of God. This is the church of the living God, which is the pillar and the foundation of truth. There you go. We, as a church, are the pillar and the foundation of truth. The society will look to us for truth. It always makes me laugh when people say, oh yeah, the church has passed it, or the church has got no influence, the church has got no influence. We hear so many negative things spoken of the church. It always makes me laugh, because at the end of the day, Jesus said, I will build my church. And you want to take on God? Do so. You're going to lose. You know, at the end of the day, it's truth. And we're part of that winning team, you know, and that reality is that we are the pillar and the foundation of truth for our town, for our region. Together, we are the cultural architects that are going to cause the society to look to us. Now, I want Horsham to be the best place to live in the country.
Yes, come on.
I want it to be the cleanest place, the safest place, with the best schools, the best education, where social services are the best, where the town looks to the church, where we have civic influence. Why? Because we're the pillar and the foundation of truth. As the church is, so the town will be. So when we look at this, who's our example? Who do we model? This is not the million-dollar question. It is Jesus. When you look at Jesus in the New Testament, people gathered around him. All sorts of people gathered around him. He made people feel welcome. Look at the environment that he created around himself. All the down and outs, the dropouts, the sinners, the people that were rejected or outcast in society, they knew they were accepted by Jesus. They knew they were welcome around him. The only people who got a hard time of Jesus were the religious lot, because they were jealous, because they couldn't control him, or the people that came to him. And they wanted that influence, you see. So we need to create, like Jesus, we need to create that environment where people feel welcome and accepted in our midst. How many people know that we're ambassadors of Christ? Yeah. Amen. So if you're an ambassador, you represent something, or you represent someone. You represent a king or a kingdom. So if God is our king and we represent him, and this is his house and he loves it, then our attitude needs to be that we represent God in this house and that we love him. Amen. Yeah. You see, in any home, the same way that you take responsibility for your own home, we need to take responsibility for our corporate home. You don't expect me to come around your house and clean it and look after it and sort it out, in the same way that I don't expect you to come do that in mine. Well, we need to take responsibility for our corporate home together. Yes. because we're in a family. You see, everywhere in a family has significance. You know, from the youngest to the oldest, any child has significance. They're important to that family. They belong. Again, it's unsurprising that all the words of the cultural words that describe us as a family interlink. If God has given it, it's not, Pastor Clive hasn't plucked out these seven words and think, oh, what do I think the church should look like? This is something that's come from God. So it's totally unsurprising that they all link together. So you and I, as a family of believers, need to take our ambassadorship, if that's a word, seriously. We need to know that we represent Jesus in this house. So when people come in, they meet with Jesus. They meet with you and I, with Jesus. We're Jesus with skin on for them. Amen. People need to know that Jesus is in the house. If Jesus is in the house, people will come. Jesus said, if you lift me up, if you exalt me, I will draw men unto myself. Now, that's the whole primary purpose of the Connect team, is to connect with people, to draw people in. Now, we don't want them just to stay there at connecting with us and connecting with the house. We want them to come all the way through to connect with God, ultimately get saved and added into the house, discipled, built up, and part of this family. So we model that inheritance. We model what we've got in Christ, which is that you're loved, you're accepted, you're adopted, you're part of, well, you're one of us. We're in this together. We're team. Let me tell you, it's not that function is not reserved just for the Connect team. It's for all of us. We all have a part to play. That verse that I read out in Romans that said, you know, that you show kindness. A lot of us think, oh, that's not really me. I'm not outgoing. I'm not really confident. At the end of the day, if you've got the Holy Spirit within you, one of the fruits of the Spirit of love is kindness. So you are able to show kindness. Amen. You are able to show kindness. You're able to do that. You're able to make people feel welcome. Let's listen to this. It's just from Ephesians 2, 19 to 22. It's actually from The Message, but it really sums it up beautifully. That's plain enough, isn't it? You're no longer wandering exiles. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. Just remove this and of. Kingdom faith is now your home country. It's now your home church. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. God is building a home. He's using us all. Say all of us. Irrespective of how we got here, that's the generational aspect, in what he is building. He used the apostles and prophets for the foundation. Now he's using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. We see it taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God. All of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home. I love that. God is at home here. If you cast your mind back to last year, the start of January 2011, we did 40 days of prayer and fasting, didn't we? One of the major themes that came out of it was we are a habitation of God. I want God to be a home, not only in my life, not only in my own home, but in our home here. I want God to be at home here. If he's at home here, his glory comes, his presence comes, the supernatural comes, the miraculous comes. That's what I want. Do you want the same thing as me? So we need to do what I'm doing now, which is to encourage one another, to spur one another. Here's one of our other cultural words, encourage. Apologies to whoever's going to be doing all this. I've nicked all your points probably. But Hebrews 10:24 says, let's spur one another on to continue to do works and service. Romans 13:8, as we've already heard, says, let only one debt remain outstanding, that debt of love. Jesus makes it very clear, doesn't he, that when the world sees how we love one another, they will know that we're his disciples. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? That the world will know that we are his disciples when they see the love that we have for one another. Let's turn in Galatians 6 and just read what it says there. Galatians 6, verse 9 and 10. This sums it up absolutely beautifully. So let us never be discouraged from doing what is good. For in due course we shall reap abundantly if we persevere. Therefore, let us do good to everyone whenever we have the opportunity to do so. But especially, say especially, in regard to our fellow members in the family of faith. We are the family of faith, the family of belief, we are the household of faith, we are the living stones. Everything talks about being a home, being together, talks about intimacy, unity, in it together. I love being team with you guys. It's not us and them. We're together. We're in this together. Amen? Now, here's a question that you don't get asked every week in church. but we're going to, here goes anyway. How many of you got kissed this morning as you came into church? In fact, how many of you have ever been kissed as you come into church? All you French and Europeans, put your hands down, I know. I'm half French. My mother's here as well. I'm half French. I love being half French and half English. It's like I can lay claim to Earl Grey and Bordeaux. It's like I get the best of both worlds. And you know the French people, they love to kiss everything. No, they really do. Seriously, when I first took Karen out to meet my cousins in their church in France, church has to start half an hour later in France because you have to kiss everybody. You kiss them before you find out their name. You're like... It's like a receiving line at a wedding. It's incredible. Anyway, the New Testament says five times. Say five times from two different authors. Greet one another with a holy kiss. You see, you've read it. Have you done anything with it? See, this is where being part of the former host team and the Connect team, I often have that embarrassing moment that I can only really describe as kind of the Egyptian chicken dance. It's like, do I go in for the handshake? Do I go in for the kiss? Is it one kiss, two kiss? Is it a hug? And you just end up doing this. Please, if you remember one thing, please do not remember the Egyptian chicken dance, will you? Look, I'm not trying to legislate of how we are to do things, how we are to greet one another. But I am saying that we do need to greet one another. Yeah. And it needs to be sincere. Yeah. Now, I do appreciate that not everybody is super comfortable with doing the whole kisses and stuff and invading personal space. I appreciate that. My wife is one of them. So just shake her hand and you can kiss me as much as you like. But I am saying that we do need to greet one another, okay? And it needs to be sincere. How many people know that you can tell the difference between something that's sincere and something that's insincere? There's a lot in our culture that talks about customer service. Now, that would have triggered something in your mind and your thinking. And the reality is most of us will probably default to a negative experience that we've had. Statistically speaking, we're more likely to tell a friend or a family member of a negative experience that we've had far more than a positive one. Now, I'm not trying to liken the church to a business or an organization that revolves around its customer service, but we can draw a lesson from it that people do remember how they're treated. Yes. So let's make our first impression count. Yeah. Let's make our second impression count. Let's make our third impression count. Yeah? Now, I don't want to be here teaching grandmothers to suck eggs and all of that, but here's some basics. Don't look people up and down and give them the once over and judge them. Smile at them. A smile disarms people. It welcomes them. Ask them their name and then use it. Don't forget it. Ask their name and then use it. Give them your name. Listen, out the back here, in the hub, we've got an area that we're calling the connection point, which is going to be manned by members of the Connect team that are really motivated, who love the interaction with people. So if you do meet somebody, take them along to the connection point. All of us can say hello, greet them, make them feel welcome. I would far rather that somebody who comes into our house gets overwhelmed by the love and the greetings and the welcome that they get in this house rather than they feel ignored or that we're rude or that we don't look at them. It's true, isn't it? Yeah. We want to make a good impression, don't we? First impressions count so much. So what statement does our hospitality say about us? Does it say that you're welcome here? We know that we're generational people. We know that any age, any background, any social standing is welcome here. Why is it important? Tell me, Phil. Okay. Tell you why. Hospitality is explicitly linked with the proclamation of the gospel. You see, hospitality is two-way. The way I receive people into my world and the way I enter into theirs. Let me tell you a little story, actually. Again, that's personal to me. Most of you know that I'm originally from London, the best city in the world. And I get a phone call from a mate. It's actually really a friend of a friend of mine. And this guy is the only way you could describe me. He's a bit of a geezer. Now, he's a bouncer. He's a driver for, it's a businessman in London. He's a geezer. He doesn't phone you out of the blue to ask you a favour unless he really needs it. And he phones me up in tears and he says, Phil, my brother got killed the other week, he got hit by a train. Wow, what'd you say to that? Absolutely devastated. It's devastated the family. And he goes on to tell me, he goes, my sister's at Christ Hospital. She's a boarder there. And these guys are obviously in London. He goes, I need somewhere for my mum to stay so she can be near my sister. Can you help me? What do I do? Of course I'm going to help him. The thing is, our spare bedroom in our flat, we had somebody living with us at the time. So I'm like, we couldn't just chuck her on the sofa. It's not the kind of thing that you do to. The guy's my age, his mum, you know, you don't just want to put a lady of that age on the sofa. You want to receive her right. So what did I do? I got on the email straight away and I emailed three people in this house, in this family. And within hours, every single one of them said, yeah, I'll rearrange my plans. I'll have them stay. I'll have her stay. I'll look after her. I can sort out with a car. I can even get her to the school so that she can see her daughter. That's hospitality, working as a house to help me. Now, as it happened, the school gave the sister dispensation. She was able to go home up to London so that I didn't need to take up my friends on the offer of their home. But this guy, he texts me and he phoned me. He goes, Phil, thank you so much. I owe you so much. I owe you one. I said, you don't owe me anything. I didn't do anything for you. I just opened up my life. I was just willing to open up my home. But next time that I see him, I've gone inroad into his life. Why did you do that? Why was your church willing to help? Because he says, Phil, you work for church. Can you help me? They were his words, actually. Yeah, I can help you. I will help you. And now I've gone inroad into your life. So I look forward to the next time I see him and preach the gospel. Mark 10, Mark 6, Luke 9, Luke 10. They're all accounts in the gospel where Jesus sent out his disciples to proclaim the gospel. And in those examples, he told them to not take any provision for the journey. Why? Because there was an expectation that they would be hosted by the people that they preached to. You see, that's the action of us going into their world. You just can't get away from it. If you look at the book of Acts, which is an extended history of the church, you know, the growth of the early church, everything, episode after episode, event after event, revolved around people being in their homes. So not only did they meet in meet in one another's homes, but they shared everything in community. They lived together. They did life together. But when you go on to read in Acts 16, where Paul goes to Philippi and he meets Lydia, she gets saved, the first thing that she does is she takes Paul and the team into her home. The whole household gets saved. Out of that is birthed the church in Philippi. Out of that, we get the letter to the Philippians, which is one of the most amazing epistles that we get from the Apostle Paul. Is it not? You see, the reality is we cannot get away that the hospitality and the preaching of the gospel and advancement of the kingdom are intrinsically linked. Amen? I've got a final slate that kind of just summarizes everything that I want to say. Then we're going to stand and then we're going to respond together. You see, key concept one of hospitality is changing strangers to guests, changing people from being unknown to known, taking the care to make them feel part of us. It's not a special gift for the select few. If you've got the Holy Spirit, you can be kind. You can show hospitality. Now, you don't have to be amazing at it. That's why we have one another. But you can do it. In fact, it's a command from God. Key concept says three. Show hospitality to one another. Direct command. Not only from Paul, but also from Peter. It's right the way through the New Testament. And finally, that final point that I've made. Excuse me. Hospitality and the gospel go hand in hand. All right, let's just jump to our feet. And I felt that what we did last week was absolutely amazing in how we did the generational thing. And we met with people that we stood with people that we didn't know and we did this thing. We're going to pray together. So I want you to go find some people that aren't your best mate or your neighbour. Go and do this together because as a household, as a family, we're going to do this together. And we're just going to pray together. Now, for some of you, you might actually say, yay, I love this. I love the idea, but I've been kissed by everybody every time I come to church. Some of you might be going, oh my days, this is my worst nightmare. For some of you, you might even need to actually just do business with God in your heart and actually say, for those of you that might have been thinking, I like my life as it is, I don't like sharing it, I don't like opening it up. It's great, you're all saying hello to one another and sharing your names. I'll start again in a minute. Are you in your groups? Just listen up just for 1 second, please. Some of you might need just to take a moment, just say, okay, God, I repent for not being willing to open up my home or open up my life.
might just need to do business with God and say, okay, God, give me that heart to welcome people. Give me that heart that says people are valued. Because we have a culture that of honour that underpins everything that we do. We see people as highly valued, that we esteem them, that we welcome them, that we love them. You just might need to pray that through. I've left the four concepts up there just for us to pray. But before you get into your groups and start praying those things, maybe you just need to do business with God and just say, yeah, God, I'm really sorry that actually I did think it wasn't my role. I thought that it was the connect team or the host team's role. Or that actually, Lord, I don't really like opening up my home or having people over. But actually, God, I understand now that it's a command from you. It's part of your heart. Because at the end of Revelation, and even Jesus refers to this in the Gospels, the whole culmination of the kingdom is at the wedding feast of the Lamb, where God hosts us. God receives us. God lays the best, the new wine of the kingdom of God, his best for us. He hosts a massive party in his house for us. It's God's heart, and we are his ambassadors. We reflect him. Just take that moment just to say, okay, God, help me there. Father, I thank you that anything that you show me, you give me the grace to enable me to change and to live this. Father, I thank you that I'm part of a family with a rich inheritance. Father, I thank you that you've called me to be part of this home, this family, and I can give myself, I can contribute to making this home great. To making this an environment of hospitality, of acceptance and welcome. It might even need to start with you just saying, God, thank you that you accepted me. Thank you that you loved me. Thank you that you cleaned me up. Thank you gave me purpose. Thank you that you added me to your church. Thank you, Jesus. And then just in your groups, just quickly, take those four concepts and just begin to pray them together. Release it over yourselves. Release it over the house. Release it over this church. Remember that we are a church, cultural architects to shape our town and our region. As the church is, so the town will be. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Father, I thank you that we are a hospitable people. Father, I thank you that we have the spirit of hospitality within us because we have your Holy Spirit within us. Father, I thank you that we're part of a team that makes people welcome, that changes them from strangers to guests in our house. Father, I thank you that you release your grace to enable it to us to do this as a family. Father, I thank you that the statement of our hospitality is a statement of the love that we have for one another and for others. And we are a house of love. We are a family of love where we belong. Father, I thank you that everybody in this house is significant and therefore they matter and that we honor them, Lord God. Father, I thank you for that culture of honor that underpins everything that we are, that says you are valued here, you are esteemed here, you are welcomed here, you are precious to me, you are precious to us. And Father, I thank you for the opportunities that the spirit of hospitality on the house is going to open up for your kingdom opportunities. Father, for the gospel to go forward. Father, I thank you that your church is irrepressible. Father, it is going to go on and on. Father, you're building your church, you're building your house, Father, in this town, in this region. Father, I thank you that the kingdom is going to advance. Father, I thank you for people being added to this house. And Father, for that sense of belonging, that they know that they can belong before they can believe. They know that they can be part of us. Father, I want to thank you that you do all of this by your amazing Holy Spirit and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.